Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. We're going to talk to Kurt Heelan in a few minutes from NBC. But Farrell on the bench, back, waxing the mahogany. Mafia, when you heard Manfred today on the Coast to Coast, when we were playing the clips of him after the Dodgers won the World Series, did that guy seem sauce to you?
It certainly sounded that way. It sounded like he was celebrating Dodgers winning before they were. I mean, that sounded like he was definitely not on his normal game for sure.
It seemed like he had, and I'm sure, you know, clearly this is just a guess. It's a, you know, alleged, just a thought, just a guess, like on my part, that it seemed like he had a buzz on. Like, I don't know, like it sounded like every friend I've ever had that had a few too many drinks. You know what I mean? Like he was like slurring a little bit. It just didn't seem right, did it? Like, I'm telling you, I was like listening to it. The first thing I said on the show today was he's drunk. I mean, it seemed that way to me. Like, he did not sound like he was all there.
Right. This guy's done a million interviews, especially when we're going through all the stuff about whether they're going to play or when they were going to play. And you've heard him speak a million times. Never sounded like that before. He was very slow, very like not sure what he was going to say next. It was a mess.
It really was. Like, I don't believe that in the moment he was so nervous that he, you know, screwed it up or anything like that. It just seemed like he was, buzzed, like he was slurring, like he was, high, like he had drinks or something. It seemed like he was like trying to get through it, even though like he was right at the teetering point of a guy that's about to like go over the edge, where he had a few, thought he could still speak at the wedding and didn't realize that he was going to be slurring his words. That's what I thought anyway. I think it'd be great if he was drunk, but I guess we'll never know. We'll be too busy trying to see if we got the Honda from Justin Turner.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kurt Heelan's our good buddy from NBC Sports. And he's on the bench to talk a little NBA news and rack. How you doing, Kurt? Hope everything's all right, buddy.
Hey, everything's going pretty well here, man. It's all good. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Hey, so I heard Mafia asking you about the season. I just have a little, different approach to it. Mine is that, like, I really don't want to talk to my family on Christmas Day. I don't want to watch them drink all day and get drunk and let their true feelings about me come out by dinner time. Cause you know, it starts up at around noon and everybody loves you. And then, you know, by 2 o'clock they're starting to eat, like munchies and, you know, junk. And then, you know, by 4 they're really hungry for dinner. And then by dinner they're just drunk and they start telling you what they really think of you. And, I don't like really, hanging out with any of them. I'd rather, like, I like them all. I just like the NBA better. I want my 5 Christmas Day NBA games. That's what I have grown accustomed to. That's what I need. That's what I want. And now these players are interfering with that. They want to start on Martin Luther King Day and not on Christmas and not before Christmas. And it's starting to really upset me.
You sound like a television executive, by the way. There's some TV executives who really want the NBA on Christmas. I was telling Mafia, first off, there is a division among players. We got to remember, there are some teams, you know, including the Warriors, who haven't played since March. Like, they're eager. Like, they're ready for that restart. And even most of the teams that went to the bubble, they were home by mid to late August. Like, most of the teams were eliminated pretty early on, and they can turn it around. I mean, it's a short turnaround now between the draft and everything, but the players are some ready to go, some aren't. I'm wondering just how much of this is about leverage and negotiations. Right now, the union and the owners are negotiating the details of next season, including the salary cap, including the luxury tax line, and I think that they're... I think part of this may just be a negotiation tactic. It may be, hey, we don't want to start then. I mean, if we're going to start that early, you're going to have to give us a little something, and they can get, you know, some steps that open up free agency a little bit for other teams.
Wow. All that is very negative to me as well. I really, as a normal layman, I don't care about their CBA or all their leverage or negotiations. I want to watch basketball on Christmas Day. Is that asking too much, Kurt, really, as a human being?
No, and I think we all kind of want that. We're all used to that being, you know, normally the quote-unquote unofficial start of the season. But in this case, it'd be kind of be basically the official start. There may be a few games a day or two earlier and a ring ceremony for the Lakers or whatever. But, you know, when Christmas falls that week on, you know, I don't actually know what day it is. But when Christmas falls, I'm with you, man. I want to wake up and see probably something like Knicks Nets in the morning. Like, you know, first game is East Coast, you know, a couple of East Coast teams. Let's do that. Let's have it, because if it's not there, the more you start breaking with tradition on these things, the harder it can be to get it back, right? Like, the more you start, like, well, we didn't do it that one year and it wasn't the end of the world. Like, you don't want to start going down, I think, some of those roads. So I think that they would want to get back to tradition. I think fans want it back. And again, it's a day the NBA owns. There aren't NFL games that day. Like, it's your chance to showcase your best players, your best teams. You've got to grab it.
So it's on a Friday, and I think that there actually is a Vikings-Saints game on Christmas Day. I could be wrong. That, yeah, that's what everybody's, like, telling me now. But the Vikings are awful.
Traditionally, there's not, but, you know, every once in a while it falls on a Sunday or it falls on a Saturday, and there are some games. So, yeah, still, I think people, like you said, man, you probably flip over and watch about half of that game when at halftime when Drew Brees has 436 yards passing already, you'll flip back over to see what's up with Lakers Heat. You've got to, you know, they've got to be there to have that.
So the NBA is telling everyone that they lost 10% of money and that they're down to just over $8 billion as a business. And that if they don't have fans next year in the seats at arenas, that they could lose as much as 40%. Are you buying all these numbers of their losses, or do you think they're greater than they're reporting?
Those are the numbers that got leaked to, well, were sent to teams, and kind of the memo got leaked out a little bit. So I'm tending to buy that number. I think, look, yeah, they lost 177 games last year, but they made a chunk of it back, the TV money back and the local TV money back with the bubble. So the revenue hits weren't as steep. This year, if you go, you know, again, they still, teams had 66 games with fans in arenas. You know, every team had, and out of their 42 or 41, they had 30 early, you know, low 30s somewhere. That's got them most of the way, you know, three quarters of the way there. If it's close, you know, I got a feeling next year that even if there's fans in the building, Scott, at least in the first part of the year, it's not full, right? It looks like those NFL games right now in some of those cities where, you know, or the World Series where there's fans there, but they're really spaced out. You're just not making the same kind of revenue. That's going to hit them pretty hard. And that's, I think, when the negotiations get sticky, is less this coming season and more, what does 21-22 look like? What are they, you know, they've got to start putting out and planning for numbers for that, because every team in every sport, you plan 3, 4, 5 years out with your budget. You're thinking, well, the cap's here. I can, you know, if I sign this guy here, then he comes off and I can chase people this year. They've got to have those numbers. And I think that that's where the real fight is.
So what do you think of the longtime assistant, Steven Silas, getting the Rockets job? Of course, everyone knows he's another in the long list of father sons. Of course, Paul Silas was his dad. You've had Bernie Bickerstaff, Brendan Malone, Bill Musselman, Flip Saunders, Paul Silas now with sons. Of course, getting gigs, JB, Bickerstaff, Mike Malone, Eric Musselman, Ryan Saunders, and Minnie, and now Steven in Houston. What'd you think of the hire?
Look, I like it in this sense. Steven Silas has been an assistant who worked his way through the league, you know, for a long time. This is one of the assistants out there, and there's others, but, you know, Sam Cassell, Vanderpool, Adrian Griffin, and Devin Harris. Darvin Ham, I mean, there's guys who deserve a shot. This was one of them. It's great to see him. This is a tough spot to get a shot, though, because the expectations are outsized for how good that roster is. I mean, James Harden's great, but there are real questions about how far you can go playing small and how that all works with Russell Westbrook. And by the way, they're really trapped. Like, financially, they're really trapped. They're not making huge changes to this roster and shaking it up. Unless they can find a taker for Westbrook, and good luck with that. And they probably have to send out, honestly, they might have to send out like draft picks to get somebody to take on. It's got more than $120 million due. So I think I think he can do a good job. I think he'll be great in the community. We'll see what kind of patience owner Tillman Fertitta has with him. If, you know, they're a middle of the road playoff team eliminated in the second round for a couple of years, because that's kind of where they're headed.
Respectfully, I got just under a minute. What did you think of the Morey hire in Philly?
You know why I like it? it's at least a, it's a vision and an established style, right? Like, this is a team that jumped from the process to whatever the heck Colangelo is trying to win till, you know, Elton Brand taking 180 degree in direct, you know, spinning it 180 degrees and going big with no shooting. Morey and Doc Rivers will provide a vision on and off the court, some accountability. That doesn't mean, by the way, it's going to make Embiid and Simmons work together, but at least I think there's going to be a more coherent plan than what we've seen the last few years.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you again around the draft and free agency, which is coming up here in a few weeks. Kurt, good having you on the bench tonight. We'll catch up with you then and see what's up around the league and see if there's been any movement or anything and see where these free agents are going to go. Thanks for coming on tonight, brother.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
My man, Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports with us. We're still rolling along here. Mafia wants to talk bad about Justin Turner.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So, Mafia, you never told me what you thought of the way the Dodgers handled Justin Turner last night, that they defied baseball and just absolutely laughed in the face of COVID. And the guy failed a COVID test. They let him out on the field to celebrate after they won the World Series. Now, I can understand. I'm cool with, I really am. I get the whole, you just won the World Series. You know, this isn't, we're going to Disney World. This is, you won the World Series. Let's party. You know, this is your team. This is who you've battled with all these years, this year, previous years, everything they, that guy's been through. He deserved to be out there. I would agree with that fully. But I just cannot look past the fact that he failed the COVID. So he has COVID, and you just cannot mock or laugh at this pandemic and this disease and this illness and what it does to people. It kills people. It's not that, you know, the White House will tell you it's like having a cold for a day or two and that you'll be fine. And it's old people die. But that's absolute BS. There are kids dying from it. There's college kids dying from it. There's young adults dying from it. There's, you know, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds. Everybody's dying from it. They'll tell you that it's blown over, and it's anything but blown over. It has reared its ugly head again more than ever. The numbers now are worse than they were in March and April. Hospitals are overflowing. They're putting people out in parking lots in tents, for Christ's sakes. And this guy walks out on the field with COVID, and then the Dodgers don't do anything about it. They defied baseball. He defied baseball. And they went out and did whatever they wanted to do. And I think it's insulting. I heard it. It's bad optics. Screw all that, too. I don't care about what it looked like on TV. I don't care what the images looked like. It's the reality of it that I got a problem with, Mafia. It's what he did. It's that he went out there and exposed everyone to COVID, and that's just all there is to it. And all those executives acting afterwards, that Friedman press conference afterwards in the press room. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. A powerful executive of a professional sports franchise sitting there acting like it was no big deal. What an idiot. I don't care what anyone thinks of him either. Everyone in Los Angeles can kiss my ass. I thought the guy looked like an idiot.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, especially when he's out there saying, oh, I don't know, I'm going to review the tape. Like, he was with him. He saw him. He was next to him in the photo. What do you mean you don't know what was going on? Like, you were right next to the dude. Don't lie to us, idiot.
He's lying.
We have it on film. We can see what's going on. I mean, it's the same as a lot of things going on. Like you said, he's been there forever. He's 35 years old. Probably, maybe one of the last chances he's ever going to get to win. They've been there 3 years and they've battled and have lost. He finally gets that victory, finally gets to taste that, championship. But in that same regard, like everything else this year, the world's a different place. And you signed on to agree to those rules when you came back to play, that if you test positive, you're quarantined. It wasn't that only applies through the season, or it only applies through the first round of playoffs, or even through the NLCS. It applied the whole season. And that was then. That happened during everything. You agreed to the rules. You got to live up to them. And the BS are trying to feed you now to try to cover their ass about how you tested positive after and everything was fine. No, because it wasn't just one test. It wasn't a possible false positive. When I was seeing the stories last night, it's that he tested twice positive. So it wasn't that he got one and then they tested him again and the other one said, no, you're good, you're negative. And he's clear. I don't care if you're asymptomatic. I don't care how you feel. It's not about you. That's the problem with everybody out here, is that it's all about them. Well, I feel fine, or I'm not scared. It's not about you. It's about everybody else. And sure, you may have exposed those guys in the locker room before the game or whatever else you did on the bus on the way there before you knew that you tested positive. But it's completely different when you are told you are sick and you still go out there and expose them. And not only did he go out there, did it without protecting anyone else, without wearing a mask, kept pulling the mask off. Like you said, getting close to everybody. If you want to go out and celebrate, I don't agree with you because of everything going on, but still I can understand it a little bit. But still, do it the right way and do it safely. Don't be hugging guys with no mask on, you moron.
And nobody else, they didn't do any of that last night in Los Angeles either, with the parties that broke out on the streets. Everybody just ignores it. It's not even happening. It's unbelievable to me.
Right, one of the hottest spots in the country. California's been going on forever as one of the hottest spots throughout this whole pandemic. Never dropped down, especially in LA. And yet people are still doing that stupid stuff. Like, you just celebrated 3 weeks ago the Lakers win. Does it really you need to go back out there again and celebrate the Dodgers and get even sicker?
Well, yeah, I think that they do deserve the right to celebrate. I think that the problem is that, of course, they're going to celebrate when they're, they're, I think, two different entities. One's basketball, the other one's baseball. And they've waited a long time for both. And then they finally got it happen. So I could see their euphoria and they want to party, and that's fine. It's just that, how do you, in good conscience, knowingly that it's almost 30% spike in COVID cases after the Lakers won and they had their championship parties in the streets, and everybody went down to downtown LA near, Staples and LA Live and all that, and they all went partying, and there was huge bashes down there on the streets, and they all got sick. Now, how in your right mind do you know... You know that everybody got sick and they had a huge super spreader spike because of that. And then you still are dumb enough to go out on the streets last night and do it again with no masks, no nothing, and just absolutely party and rage and wail. That's amazing to me. You just got to be stupid. You just have to be stupid. So you know what? You're going to get what you get, and you got it coming to you, as far as I'm concerned. You got it coming to you. You go out and think you're above it all. You're too smart for everybody. You're too slick. You're too cool. You're going to learn the hard way, Romeo. We'll see if you get COVID, if you survive or not. If you die, what are we going to worry about it? None of us are going to worry about it. Nobody's going to worry about your dead. No one's going to worry about your dead ass after you went out partying with no mask on so you could show everybody what a tough guy you were, because that's exactly what they do. Nobody thinks it's ever going to happen to them, let alone Turner, who knew it happened to him, and he still went out and acted like he's some kind of badass and above it all. I think that guy's an idiot. I think they're all idiots. I don't care what anybody says there either. You got to be stupid. You just have to be stupid. I mean, you're a baseball player that won the World Series. Congratulations. But how stupid are you to go rock it all out for everybody else to absorb? You got to be stupid. Like, it's really selfish, in my opinion, that he just did whatever he wanted to do. He's out there dancing around with his wife, dancing around with the trophy, taking pictures, no mask, hugging people. Are you kidding me? Like, it's really an insult to my intelligence. It really is. I can't even.
It's everyone thinking about themselves, no one thinking about everyone else. How many people, oh, well, you know, he's healthy, he's an athlete, he'll be fine. Or these other guys, these people going out, they're like, oh, I'm not going to get sick, or I don't feel any symptoms. It's not just about you, stupid. And it's not just about the people that you interact with that night. Like, how many of those guys go home, haven't seen their families in, you know, weeks while they've been quarantined down there for the playoffs? How many may have kids that are, you know, sick or vulnerable? How many have older parents that they haven't seen that they might go visit now that are sick and vulnerable? Even if they don't feel the symptoms, could have the germs and pass along and kill, you know, like you said, kill more people because you're just thinking about yourself and, oh, I can survive this. Well, not everyone can.
Yeah, I just, it's just unbelievable to me. I got to tell you, though, I think that I said this today on Coast to Coast, and I'm going to say it here. I think Kevin Cash will never live that down. I think he's gonna lay in bed at night and sit in a rocking chair one day on his front porch looking out over the lake and smoking a pipe thinking, man, did I butcher that game six of the World Series. I will never agree with anyone that plays their little analytical games with me in baseball that you should have taken Blake Snell out when he threw 70 pitches and he was totally dominant. Complete control of that game, throwing a two-hitter, gives up a single to Barnes, but they yank him out of the game. Anderson comes in, throws a wild pitch, then lets Betts score on the fielder's choice, and then the rest of the story is pretty simple. Dodgers win. That was it. I knew that when Betts slid across the plate, the game was over, and then he hit a home run to add insult to injury. But I think Kevin Cash, too smart for his own britches, and the analytics of the game, and the Rays use analytics big time. And I think his, just consistency through the years of doing that with every pitcher, taking him out after so many pitches in so many innings, every time he does it, he's constantly mowing through his bullpens and his pitchers. He's constantly starting, openers, bullpen guys, starting games, constantly doing shifts and everything else. Everything that they do on that team is analytics, the whole team. That's it. That's all they do. It's all based on science and math and numbers and all this other nonsense. And the reality is that Blake Snell was completely dominating the Lakers. Dodgers. They even admitted that they were buckling their knees and that they were off balance and they had no idea how to hit him because his stuff was so filthy. And he only threw 70 pitches. I think he could have thrown 125 pitches. Guy even said after the game he felt great and he wanted to keep going. I think that Kevin Cash ruined the World Series for the Rays. I really do. I think he's too smart for his own britches. And that's that. I mean, I can't even believe what I saw, that he pulled him out. And then sure enough, less than 5 minutes later, the game was over. I mean, it wasn't even 5 minutes. It was like 2 minutes. Wild pitch and then the fielder's choice, and it was game over. Nice job, Kevin. Enjoy the nightmares. All right, so I'm fired up for Saturday night, the Gervonta Davis-Leo Santa Cruz fight for the 135 and 130-pound belts. You got the WBA Super Featherweight World Championship on the line and the WBA Lightweight World Championship as well. It's going to be an incredible fight. Tank Davis is no joke, 23-0, 22 knockouts. He means business. He goes in for the kill. He's like Mike Tyson. He's a Floyd Mayweather protege. He's with Mayweather Promotions, great fighter. I have to say, you know, I talked to Leonard Ellerbe about him, the CEO of Mayweather. And I think, you know, Mafia's seen Tank at a lot of fights. He's very accessible. He's very cool. He's approachable. He's easy to deal with. He'll do interviews with everybody and talk at all the fights. He shows up at all the fights. He's just very visible. I like that about him. I think it's cool that he's making a name for himself, getting very popular, getting very big. This is his first big pay-per-view main event where he's the featured attraction on pay-per-view. It's also Leo Santa Cruz's first main feature, main event pay-per-view. Showtime pay-per-view Saturday night, 9 Eastern from San Antonio's Alamo Dome, the Ferrellamo Dome on Ferrelloween. Going to be a great card. 4 fights on the card. It's just fantastic. You got the WBA super lightweight title on the line with Mario Barrios, the champ, against Ryan Cowboy Carl. Of course, Barrios from San Antonio, Carl from Houston. You got Regis Prograis against Juan Geraldez in a 10-round lightweight bout. And you also have an IBF title eliminator with Isaac Cruz and Diego Magdaleno, the veteran fighter. So Saturday night, great fights on this card on Showtime pay-per-view. Call your cable operator, satellite provider, connected devices, smart TVs. Go to Showtime.com or the Showtime app to order the fight. And it's at 9 Eastern, like I said, from San Antonio. By the way, Ticketmaster has tickets available. Fans, for the first time, can go to see a boxing event live, even with the COVID going on. This is the first fight where fans are allowed in since COVID started. We've seen all these fights with no fans. Not this one. There'll be fans at the Ferrellamo Dome in San Antonio for Davis Santa Cruz, the best versus the best, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, Showtime pay-per-view. All right. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about Antonio Brown, right? So he worked out today, apparently. He was allegedly fantastic in his workout. And Bruce Arians said he'll be ready for week 9. So already they're saying he looks fantastic. I think we had really good conversations today. He and I, according to Arians, he was in the meetings and everything, and he's working with the staff, the strength staff. He looks in great shape. Ready to go next week. So he's serving an 8-game suspension due to multiple violations of the league's conduct policy. And everybody knows what the deal is. This guy still faces an investigation into accusations that he sexually assaulted his former trainer in 2017 and 2018. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in South Florida, where Brown has a crib. It remains open, and the receiver could still face additional penalties pending its outcome. He has denied the accusations completely. He has another case pending of sexual assault. But Arian said, despite all of that, we already know he's barred from practicing with the team, but can attend meetings and work with the strength and conditioning staff. On that front, he got good marks. It went well. He and I had good conversations. He'll be ready to go next week and is in good shape. Of course, look, I've had this talk since the word popped that he was going to get the gig and go play for the Bucks. And you know, they already have issues with Godwin. He's out this week with the surgery on his index finger. And Scotty Miller's been banged up. Evans has been banged up. Obviously, Brady's been throwing to Gronkowski again, like it's just the old days in New England. And, you know, at Gillette, seeing those two hook up is just like a nightmare for most fans. If you're not a Patriot fan, seeing those two hooking up and winning all those Super Bowls is enough to drive you nuts. But I think Brady looks better than ever. He really does. He's on a pace for 41 touchdowns right now. I think he has soared in his play from the first 3 weeks of the season till now. I think he's looked terrific lately. They have been crushing everyone, the Packers, the Raiders, and now, here they go with more of the same. They got the Giants this week on Monday Night Football, and the Giants are, you know, flat out awful. I mean, there's nothing else you can say about them. I think they've been playing better. I think that they've been looking better, and they've been in games. I thought they blew the Eagle game. I thought they should have won that game. They were up 21-10. With 5 minutes to go and they lost the game. I mean, how do you let that happen unless you are terrible? You have to have something wrong with you. If you blow a lead like that, I don't care where the game is. You can't blow that game. You got to win the game. So, whatever. I think, you know, Brady's going to be too much for them. I think everybody thinks that. And imagine what that team's going to be like. I think the Saints game is next week. I could be wrong. But can you imagine? I'm telling you, this guy Brown, look, if you're going to line him up right now and say, all right, the Ravens signed Dez Bryant. They brought him back from the dead. And he's going to, he's whatever you want to call it, practice squad. He's going to play. That's what that means. He's going to be on the team, and we'll see what that leads to or what it amounts to. And then you got Brown playing with Brady, and what's that going to lead to? What's that going to amount to? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to amount to is that, you know, barring injury where he could, you know, go out, he hasn't played in a year and a half, and he could tear a hammy or a quad, or he could tear a calf, or, you know, he could get plantar fascia or a turf toe. Christ, you have no idea what it could be. But I have my reservations about injuries, because if you don't play and you're not in a rhythm and your body's not in that game shape burn, then you're susceptible to injury, in my opinion. I don't think going to the weight room and lifting weights and running a few sprints out at the high school football field is indicative of the pace and rigors of playing in an NFL game every Sunday or Monday or Thursday for that matter. So I think that there are concerns about whether or not he can play without problems after not playing for that long. But if he stays healthy, let's say hypothetically he comes out and doesn't have any injury problems, is that guy going to produce? And hell yeah, is all I have to say. Hell yeah. That's what that guy's going to do. He's going to produce, because that's all he ever does is produce. He scores touchdowns and he catches passes and he makes plays. And I can tell you one thing, guarding him is a nightmare. He plays every position a receiver can play, on the outside, you know, on the inside, in the slot. It doesn't matter. In motion, he's so dangerous. They try to put one guy on him. It never works. He can roast anybody in the league. I've heard about all these guys that think they can stop Antonio Brown, and all he's done from 2010 to now, it's only real simple. It's Brown and Julio Jones. They have all the numbers. They're the ones with all the success. They're the biggest stars as receivers go in the last 10 years. He's been incredible. When he was with the Steelers, he was unstoppable. And then he, you know, lost his mind. And money, I think, did it to him. And he's a narcissist. The guy's, you know, he completely flipped out and started being about me, 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 I. And flipping out on the sidelines, flipping out on the field, screaming and yelling at teammates, screaming and yelling at coaches. And everybody started to wonder if he had taken shots to the head, like in that playoff game with Cincinnati, if that had, you know, gotten to him, and that he had CTE or something. And people thought he was, you know, bipolar and everything else. They got every story in the world about this guy. He became certainly a media sensation with his drama. He was a freak show, and he became like T.O. if you ask me. He just became just a distraction, and he became a cancer on the Steelers, and that's just all there is to it. And then they finally, got rid of him, and he ended up moving around a little bit. And then when he played with Brady for 5 minutes, it took him all of about 2 minutes to score a touchdown. And then he got accused of all these crimes, and then they got rid of him finally. And then he's been out of football ever since. If he wouldn't have been seriously, I believe this. If he wouldn't have been nailed and accused of all this stuff, and if he didn't have all his legal problems, you got to remember what happened last year was the Titans went up there and beat the Patriots, right, in the playoffs. And I think that no one saw it coming. And I think people thought that the Patriots were slipping a little bit and that they were in trouble and that they would lose in the playoffs. And they were lucky they got a game at home. And they lost, right? So one thing leads to another. My feeling would have been that if he was playing, that wouldn't have happened. If Brown was in that lineup and if Brown was on that team from the Dolphin game that he scored in all the way until the AFC title game or whatever, I think they would have won the game. I don't believe that Tennessee would have been able to stop Antonio Brown and Edelman at the same time. I don't think so. Because to me, it was like having Randy Moss on the team. That's how good he was. Now, some people would say that's crazy, but like I think Randy Moss is an absolute badass. But I also think Antonio Brown's an absolute badass. So I think he would have just gone off in the playoffs. The more they got deeper into the season, the better he would have gotten. That's all he ever did for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Nobody could stop him. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, Mafia, but this Hurricane Zeta is rocking New Orleans tonight. I mean, just absolutely just shredding the city tonight. I've seen just outrageous numbers of people without power as this Cat 2 land. It hit in New Orleans tonight, and I saw the footage. It was absolutely crazy. Like the wind was like a buck 10 and the rain was just pelting. I saw that Rob Marciano guy doing a report for David Muir and ABC News tonight on evening news. He was standing in the middle of a canal or something in New Orleans. And the guy was just getting absolutely just ripped with rain and wind. I mean, he could barely stand. And then I'm seeing the aftermath of it in New Orleans, like trees down everywhere, power lines down everywhere. I mean, it just raged there all night long. So they've had nothing but bad luck down in the Gulf Coast and in all those states down there. This is the fifth hurricane that's hit U.S. land fall during this hurricane season. It's been crazy. So our thoughts are out and our hope is everybody's okay down there and that you get through this. It's crazy. Fifth storm to hit Louisiana this year. It's crazy what's been going on with these hurricanes. Yeah, there's no such thing as global warming. I mean, this guy in the White House, there's no such thing as COVID. There's no such thing as global warming. It's all fake news. I mean, my boy is on acid, son. All right, it's Pharrell and Avenged. Go with us. All right, so I'll see you tomorrow at 4 East on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. And I just heard Mafia telling Gabe that Pharrell was tripping without sports on tonight. And, you know, I like soccer a lot, Gabe. I just, the MLS, I don't know. It's like a fat chick to me. I can't get into it. I don't know what it is. I'm craving at the very least, the Falcons. Panthers tomorrow, something. Give me something. No baseball, no nothing tonight. I was tripping.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing, isn't it, that you're looking forward to a Falcons and a Panthers game suddenly.
Right.
You know, Scotty, the MLS, I call it, it's the Bellator of MMA fighting. You know what I mean? It's not the UFC, bro, but you can bet on it.
It's true. I was watching the Timbers and the Galaxy, but once it got to 3-0, I literally turned
on. Galaxy are bad, bro.
They are, apparently. It looked really bad to me. I turned it off. I was watching MSNBC, and I don't want to watch that either. I want to kill myself watching these politicians. I'm sick and tired of this thing. I want it to end on Tuesday. I'm actually looking forward to Tuesday.
We throw darts every Wednesday. It seems to be MLS night, me and Cam. 2 weeks ago, bro, 8-0 MLS. Last week, like basically, you know, 2-9 type of deal. So far tonight, 8-1. It's feast or famine, bro, with this league. And you know what? You know, I just come back. I've been betting the MLS all summer. We went through that tournament, so we've been following the league all year long. But dear God, bro, this is like the Russian roulette of gambling, this league.
I'm just glad you're making money on soccer. I have no idea what's going on there. I haven't even heard of any of the players.
Might lose it tomorrow.
No, you won't. All right. Hey, have a great show, Morenci. He's coming up next with Sports Rage. I'll see you freaks tomorrow. Mafia, great job. Good night, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Comfort is often the first thing we're willing to give up, like taking a long flight for a vacation or waking up early for a workout. But don't let style be the reason you aren't comfy. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look put together while feeling truly comfortable. Inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, the Ace Collection combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. Upgrade your collection for the new year with new bomber jackets, half zips, sweats, crew necks, and much more. Get comfortable anywhere with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.